You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right-end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. I am your co-host, Mr. Ryan Burns, and joining me, as always, as we're going to talk a little bit of NDSU basketball and football here, is Ross Uglum. Ross, how are things in the world for you today?
Doing great. Excited to record another podcast. We have excellent interviews. Really wanted to focus on the offensive line today. Really wanted to kind of talk to the Rams. They had a kind of a rough go against the talented group up front at Youngstown State. So just kind of wanted to focus in and had a chance, frankly, to talk to two seniors, which was really cool because they are starting to really see the light at the end of the tunnel and kind of realize, you know, where we're at or where we're going here at the end of their very decorated NDSU careers.
Yeah, and I know Ross was hyping it up in the pre-production meeting, and he's pretty darn excited about it. So let's get through some things so we can talk to Mr. Colin Connor and Mr. Luke Bacon. So the first item for you, Ross, is our guy Jabril Cox. Shocker, he's been added to another award watch list.
Yeah, the Buck Buchanan Award, that is the award, basically the only individual award a North Dakota State player has taken home during this kind of special run was Kyle Emanuel, the Buck Buchanan Award winner, the top defensive player in FCS. I would say that there are lots of times over the course of the last few years that NDSU has had the top offensive player or the top defensive player in the subdivision on the team, but they just don't get the recognition because the stats are spread out so evenly at North Dakota State, and frankly, their offensive stats are not designed, to win big national awards. But a cool thing for Jabril, obviously, a very cool thing for Jabril to be in kind of that level, to be at that level with 2 years left to play is incredible.
And another thing I think we should touch on, is death taxes and NDSU grabbing the Valley title with another victory on Saturday over Youngstown State. Here we are. Ross's preseason predictions are still holding true to this day. And for those of you who forgot them, I'm sure Ross will give you an update that, well, he's predicting NDSU to go undefeated this season, yet here we are again. And part of that, Ross, is another Valley title.
Yeah, I mentioned before the season that at no time during my employment with you, with the Bison Report, have I ever picked North Dakota State to go undefeated. We started our business, I believe, either Carson's senior year or Carson's junior year immediately following the undefeated season. And I've always thought they would go 14-1, and I predicted 15-0 coming into this season. I thought that this was that level of a team, and frankly, I'm either going to be right or they are going to lose in the playoffs because it ain't happening these next two conference games. They will not lose either of these next two conference games. You can pretty much take that to the bank. I don't see how it would go down that way. They're definitely excited about already having clinched a part of the Valley title. That's the number one thing they preach, our expectations as fans and where we kind of stand on the issue is certainly that they should win national championships. They're expected to win national championships. But when those guys come in every fall for fall ball, the number one goal set in front of them by the coaching staff is winning the Missouri Valley football conference championship, and they've done it for a ridiculous eighth straight season. And then, of course, the next point is, yes, on Saturday, because of the two-loss status of the rest of the contenders in the Valley, North Dakota State would be the outright Valley champions with a win in Springfield, Missouri.
All right, so before we talk a little bit of basketball today here, Ross, do you want to give the folks a word from our presenting sponsor?
Absolutely. Here is our presenting sponsor, Dynasty Performance Training.
Dreaming of being faster, stronger, and more confident? Let the professionals at Dynasty Performance Training morph your body into dominating the competition. Their proven workouts will correct your form, hit your goals, reduce injuries, and enhance your life. And the team at Dynasty Performance Training will be with you every step, every lift, and every sprint on your way there. Visit DynastyPerformanceTraining.com and research the experts today for athletes, for adults, for teams, for you.
All right, yeah, let's talk a little hoops here.
So let's talk a little hoops. I mean, we've had two games to talk about here, first being the exhibition game over York, Concordia, Moorhead team. NDSU is able to win very comfortably, a 32-point home victory. You're able to see a bunch of guys get meaningful minutes. I think if I'm adding this up correctly, Ross, we saw 12 different guys get double-digit minutes in that 32-point victory, but then things quickly turn when they head – they headed off to Las Cruces, New Mexico, to take on a New Mexico State team that I know Ross is high on, and unfortunately a 17-point loss. So you look at the ebbs and the flows of this 2018 basketball team. What are your early impressions?
Yeah, I think, you know, people, I hope they don't overreact to the game at New Mexico State. That team's probably going to win that league. People remember Thunder Dan Marley. Thunder Dan Marley actually has one of the only for-profit, if not the only for-profit university in the NCAA right now. It's Grand Canyon. Those Grand Canyon environments are insane, and they're not even picked to win the league. It's one of the more popular stories in college basketball is GCU. They're picked second to New Mexico State. That team reminded me a lot of the San Diego State team that North Dakota State lost to in the second round of the NCAA tournament after beating Oklahoma. They were just incredibly long and incredibly athletic. They were really, really solid defensively and got after it rebounding. The Bison spotted them an 18-3 lead and then basically played the rest of the game even. I think it was NDSU by 2 points for the rest of the game or New Mexico State by 2 points for the rest of the game. But after getting off to that horrific start, it was pretty even. As far as the Concordia game, my thoughts are just that they have more depth, I think, than they've ever had. I think the difference between guy 1 and guy 10, there is a difference, obviously, but it's not a lot. They have the ability to throw waves at opponents, and I think as guys get a little bit more comfortable, that's going to become very dangerous. I think what you take away from the New Mexico State game is it looks like Rocky Cruiser could be an all-league guy. I mean, he was a huge matchup problem for New Mexico State. And as I mentioned, those kids were long and athletic. What he could do to big men in the Summit League if he continues to play like this is incredible. And I was just talking to a couple of buddies about, you know, like the 09 team. They had Luke Mormon, who was an inch taller than Cruiser. And his basic function on the team and what he was asked to do, and he's an important player, don't get me wrong, but he was basically asked to rim protect, grab an offensive rebound occasionally, and set it back in the basket for a layup because Winkleman, Nelson, Woodside were doing all the scoring for that team. Maybe occasionally you'd get a corner three from Mike Tweet, but Cruiser is an inch shorter than Morms, and it looks like you could run the entire offense through the kid. You know, athletic enough to get in the post, rock the rim, and 5 of 6 from three-point land. Very, very impressive. Guys that I have high expectations for that struggled a little bit. Vinny Shaheed looked a little bit nervous in his first Division I game. Jarius Cook looked a little bit nervous in his Division I game. Tyson Ward looked like he needed to adjust to his new role. They need some time, and that's something, you know, in private conversations I've had with Coach Richmond, this team is going to be good in January, and they're going to need to discover themselves in November and December without, you know, kind of losing heart. And those are my expectations for the NDSU basketball team. I think beyond South Dakota State, it's a wide, wide open league, and I'm not saying that they're going to you know, necessarily take second in the league. I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but this is, is not a bad basketball team. It's an extremely young basketball team, but it's really going to be a fun team to follow for the rest of the season. And I hope that this loss, and just because New Mexico State doesn't sound, you know, like Duke, it's a good college basketball team and a team that I think is going to win the WAC.
So if you want to check out this NDSU basketball team, there is a home game coming up here on Sunday at 1 p.m. against UC Santa Barbara. So if you want to get your own opinion with your own eyes, head on out Sunday afternoon. But Ross, that takes us into our first interview.
Absolutely. I had a chance right away this week to speak to NDSU former left tackle and now current left guard Colin Connor. We talked a little bit about the position switch, talked about what they struggled with a little against Youngstown State, talked about kind of what his career meant to him or has meant to him now that it's kind of wrapping up and we're getting to the point where his senior season is winding down in the end. So this will be a fun conversation for you guys. Connor isn't quite as verbose as the next kid that we interview, but he does a nice job here. Here with Bison senior offensive lineman Colin Connor. Colin, how are we doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good, good. Opportunity to accomplish what is always set out as the prime goal of the season at North Dakota State, which is to win the Valley. You guys have a share, you know, you're champions now, but would be a chance to win the Valley outright with a game to go, which I think is a really impressive feat. What is that like, and how do you get past the letdown? Which, of course, there is an opportunity, you know, having accomplished what you set out to, that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. It's a great accomplishment to already know that we have won the Missouri Valley, but it's definitely going to be a pretty good big emphasis on winning it outright. Like it was said in the locker room that we don't want to share it. So, yeah, we've won it. So, and sometimes people, our teams, like they accomplish a goal, they like kick back a little bit, and coach told us not to like. Well, obviously told us not to do it, but like made a pretty big emphasis that we still have to push forward. Teams get better in November. Good teams get better in November, and mediocre teams just average, and we don't want to be a mediocre team.
You are part of a pretty big senior class, and you've been on teams that in this run that have had, you know, 11, 10 shorter senior classes. What does it say about this group that you guys were able to stay together and be such a big group, and where's the leadership at with this team having that big of a group?
It's definitely nice to have a big group. There's definitely a lot of leadership everywhere. I mean, there's multiple seniors on the field all the time. So there's obviously the captains are pretty big leaders in this team, but every senior has a pretty big role on leadership. There's even juniors. Like, a lot of juniors are already pretty big leaders to a lot of other people.
Are you one of the more vocal leaders, or are you a lead by example kind of guy?
I try to be more vocal. I'm not really a vocal person, but I try to be more vocal. But I'm definitely example person.
Sure. What talk a little bit about the position change this season. It's got to be a little bit of a pride thing. I mean, in today's, you know, passing kind of football, like the left tackle position is kind of put up there on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And you were able to do that well, in my opinion, as a sophomore. And now your senior year, you get kicked inside to guard. Is there a pride thing there? Is it a better fit? Talk a little bit about, you know, kind of that.
No, it's not a pride thing. I mean, yeah, I like being left tackle, but I mean, I'm just glad I'm starting. I'm willing to do anything. I want to play. I'm going to do anything for the team. It's Coach Riley felt that instead of having a new guy come in to the line, like, or a younger guy to just kick me over, have a veteran inside and put Dylan, who's obviously a good athlete, on the outside.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Dylan. I'm not sure I've had, just from talking, and it's not even just Riley, but I can't remember an offensive lineman generating the kind of buzz as much as Dylan has, and it's not even a position that naturally creates a lot of buzz. I mean, you understand that, but how good can he be, and what are the traits that make him special athletically?
He definitely can be. He's going to be a great athlete. I mean, it's his first year playing tackle, so still a few things different, like game-wise, a lot different than practice. Seeing looks that you're not going to see during practice, during the games, it's just an adjustment that he has to get used to, still just being his first year. But he's definitely be a great athlete. He's going to fit the position good. He can move good.
So like playing next to Tanner?
I don't know. Me and Tanner were freshman roommates in the dorm. So, I mean, it's nothing. We are pretty much like brothers.
That's awesome.
Great friends.
That's awesome. What did Youngstown State do well? I mean, this was a game. 17 points for North Dakota State's offense is not, I don't think, where your standards would necessarily be. What did Youngstown do well that kind of kept you guys out of the 20s, out of the 30s?
We definitely knew they were going to be physical. Youngstown's always a physical team, especially when they play the Bison. We've had trouble with them multiple years. But A-game, they're A-game, obviously. They ran it pretty much every single play in it jumbles up the front, the inside guys, and we run into each other and we can't get up to our other blocks. So,
last road game of the season, and if you take care of business, it is likely to be the last road game of the season. You guys in your career have been absolutely incredible on the road. Talk about the standard, not necessarily of your football team, but being win all your home games and split on the road. You guys aren't even close to splitting on the road. I mean, you are almost a dominant road team. How does that happen?
It's a business trip to us. We go there, take care of business, don't let any outside distractions distract us. It's definitely a great feat to be undefeated on the road, and I hope by the end of the week we are undefeated on the road. But it's an accomplishment, I would say. But like I said, it's a business trip to us.
What have you seen from these guys on film, Missouri State?
They can be just like anybody in the Valley. Anybody in the Valley can beat anybody in the Valley. Just to any week. There's a good team. They got good players in positions that I don't know.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
We definitely want to thank Connor for his time, or excuse me, Colin Connor for his time. He, you know, it was pretty clear that his favorite thing in the world to do is not necessarily get interviewed by the media, but he was very gracious with his time and did a nice job there.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate it. So let's get into this Youngstown State game. NDSU on offense, Ross, not the greatest performance we've ever seen in the Fargo Dome. Only 17 points in the day, but I think more importantly to start things off here, you look at the first 9 drives of the game, only one of them ends in points, and that's very uncharacteristic for this NDSU team.
Yeah, they had a number of issues. There were a lot of inside games that Youngstown State ran a ton of twists from the defensive tackle spot, something that they were prepared for, or at least had said they were prepared for, but they just never quite got there as far as succeeding against it in the power run game. Another thing I really noticed was that, you know, this Youngstown State defense was just begging North Dakota State to air it out. The passing game was there all day long as far as an opportunity is concerned, and they just went conservative, and a little bit of it I think has to do with they want to be able to throw those knockout punches in the fourth quarter, and it works every time. But I think if they would have been a little bit less concerned about grinding Youngstown State into a pulp so they could throw the fourth quarter punch, they might have had a little bit more of a lead to play with. I know they had some drop passes, and we'll talk about that, but the passing game was what was given to them, and they didn't necessarily take it.
And when you look at this passing game as a whole for NDSU, on the day, Easton Stick, 13 of 23, not the greatest day, but it should have been even better if these Bison wide receivers could have had a little bit more success catching the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I counted either 5 or 6 drops, big ones by Josh Babich and Christian Watson on beautiful throws from Stick. And I get accused of kind of being an Easton stan, and I get that. But this is not – the purpose of what I'm saying is not to prop up Easton and bring down his receivers. That's not the point of it at all. The purpose of what I'm saying is just the simple fact that this guy is putting the ball on the money – and there are just too many drops. too many drops. They need to catch the football. And frankly, a lot of it is just to keep drives going. You know, it's not that these are on third down. That's my main issue. I mean, these are on money downs. And you could even count the one where Darius Shepherd had 1 foot out of bounds when he caught it on the sideline as a drop because it ended a drive. And they just have to be more consistent, or I fear that Stick will be even more likely to continue to just focus on throwing the ball to Shep. And while that's been incredibly effective, if NDSU gets into, you know, a battle in the playoffs where a team just goes, okay, we're going to double team Darius Shepherd, do they have an answer? I don't know. I hope so, but I really don't know.
Yeah, we'd like to see some kind of progression outside of Darius Shepherd being over 50% of the completions each and every week. So hopefully that picks up here this weekend against Missouri State. But defensively, NDSU's defense, once again, has a standout performance. And because of their standout performance, they're able to keep this game close. But you look at some of the drives for this Youngstown State team, one of the strangest things I've seen with a clocking the ball on fourth down. But on the day, just 7 points allowed from this NDSU defense. And they turn them over 3 different times on downs, Ross.
Yeah, it was another top-notch performance from North Dakota State's D. They were very aggressive. I liked the way that Josh Hayes played. Thought that was very important, that losing Jalen Allison didn't cause a massive problem in the secondary. I think that they'll utilize these next 2 weeks and Thanksgiving to get Jalen right and try and get him back in for the playoffs. They talked about it being a 1 to 4 week injury. I have no reason to believe that they won't just let it be a 4 week injury. I think that would be the most responsible way, frankly, to get that whole thing taken care of. Beyond that, you know, I think that they threw a little bit of a curveball, they being Youngstown State pronouns, pal. I think they had everybody thinking Montgomery Van Gorder was going to be the quarterback going into that game. And when it was Nathan Mays, you knew it was going to be QB run. Fortunate thing about Nathan Mays is the kid has like a Byron Leftwich-esque windup. I mean, he just is not an effective thrower of the football. So they didn't have really the dual threat. They just had the running threat. And it was effective. And if NDSU doesn't, you know, basically get a turnover on the opening drive on fourth and one, that game could look a lot differently. You could have ended NDSU playing from behind, maybe throwing the ball a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, other than that, they really just caused an issue, I think, because of their aggressiveness, because of the lack of Youngstown State to be able to expand the field. They were playing on a compressed field because of Nathan May's inability to get the ball down the field.
And so when you look at this NDSU offense, somebody that stood out besides the normal suspects in Easton Stick and Darius Shepherd was the number three there, Mr. Lance Dunn. 18 carries for 100 yards on the ground. Then he's able to add in a one-catch performance that goes for a touchdown. Lance Dunn has seemingly taken his game to another level here of late.
Am I right in saying that, Ross? Right, yeah. I just wanted to make a point to point out how well Lance is playing. Just because when they lost Bruce Anderson, the kind of season he was having, you could certainly see the possibility of a little bit of a drop off, and you just never saw it. You just never saw anything, you know, go any lower than it was going to go, because Dunn has offered everything Bruce did, basically. He's been not quite as effective in the passing game, but in the run game, the explosive plays have just continued and continued. And maybe just from a stature standpoint, he doesn't turn as many 2-yard runs into 5-yard runs because Anderson has that ability to just run a guy over in the hole. And maybe a play isn't blocked all that well, or a defense does a good job and Bruce still finds a way to keep them on schedule, where Lance is, you know, 5'9", a little bit smaller back. But the 75-yard run 2 weeks ago, the big long run this week, he is just finding ways to create explosive plays. And when you can create explosive plays without putting the ball in the air, that is just so hard to defend and creates such an issue for opposing defenses.
Final thing I want to touch on from this Youngstown State game was Mr. Pelini. I mean, is this it? You look at this season for Youngstown State, hasn't been the world's greatest one. They're not exactly setting it on fire. 3-6 overall. 2-4 in conference. So is this the last shebang for Mr. Pelini at Youngstown State?
I don't know. And I think, you know, I wouldn't do it, but as far as I know, and I could be misinformed on this, so please, you know, don't quote me. But as far as I know, Bo is in the last year of his deal. Bo is in the last year of his Nebraska buyout. So Nebraska is no longer paying him millions of dollars to not coach there. Youngstown is no longer paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars to coach there. And I think they gave him a lame duck season this year and really wanted to make him prove it. The guy's been to an FCS national championship game. They did lose that game, but I mean, Youngstown State made a run to the FCS national championship game, has been competitive. I just think he wears on people, and I don't know what Tressel's going to do, but the feeling consistently around the situation last Saturday was that this will be Bo's last run in the Dome. Let's change gears a little bit. When we get done with this next interview, we'll talk about the Missouri State game that's upcoming. But I had a really awesome conversation with NDSU offensive lineman Luke Bacon. Luke is a North Dakota kid. Luke is a guy that has played every position on the line except center. He's a guy that I think really just wanted to find a role and has played that right guard position this season exceptionally well, has really finally been able to settle in and master a position instead of being pretty good at a bunch of them. So here's a good about 10-11 minute conversation with Luke Bacon. Here with Bison senior offensive lineman Luke Bacon. Luke, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You think you can name all the positions you played on the line?
Everything besides center.
Everything besides center, okay.
Played shield on punt, been a tight end on some field goal. So, yeah, I've experienced it all.
Has it been nice this year, settling in? I mean, you played like a lot of right guard, you know, this season, which is not something that you generally have been able to do. You were part of kind of a rotation. It's like, hey, do I need your right tackle, right guard, left tackle, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's something that Coach Ryan and I talked about in the spring was just finding a position and settling on one and getting better at that one position, but then yet have the ability to play the other one, you know, the other three for me, if called upon. And we kind of laughed. I've played it in three positions in like three or four games yet this year already. Still, you know, road games, we don't have a ton of guys traveling and things like that. But yeah, find some comfort in the right guard position, you know, working with Zach and working with Tanner, rather than having to find different ways to get on the field before. It's really nice.
Yeah, and you guys have been relatively fortunate on the health side as far as keeping your crew together. A little bit about Cordell. I mean, that's a kid that I think it's not always you that comes off the field, but, I mean, they want to keep the offensive line fresh, and it seems to be 67 is the guy that is being used to keep you guys fresh. Where's his ceiling at? I mean, just how good can he be?
Yeah, Cordell improves each and every day, and he goes 100 mile an hour in practice, and as physical as a guy can be when it comes to the offensive line. It's just for him figuring out the right guard, the right tackle, the left tackle, you know, for him right now. He comes in, he goes hard, but you can tell there's, you know, a little bit of a hesitation of, am I really doing the right thing here? And that's just going to come. You know, he's a young kid, he's a sophomore. You know, for him, find a position, he might be in this kind of same boat, and you know, I think that's why
yeah, those tackles are young and good.
Yeah. You know, Zach's a junior, Dylan's a sophomore, and Cordell is, you know, could be a starter on maybe every other team in our conference, and that's just saying a lot about our guys that we have right now. But, you know, he competes and improves every day, and that's all you can ask for a kid.
You've been around for some Bison teams that have shorter senior classes, you know, whether it was injuries, attrition, it doesn't matter. But this is a big group. You know, you guys are senior and, frankly, junior heavy. What's that like from a leadership standpoint? I mean, is it nice to be able to share the load with that many other seniors? I mean, shoot, you guys, left guard, center, right guard, are you all fifth-year seniors?
Yeah,
all fifth-year seniors. I mean, it doesn't get that much, you know, more experience than that.
Yeah, we kind of joke, you know, between Tanner, Colin, and I, we break down the huddles after games or practices. We all look at each other, you want to do it today or should I do it? Or, you know, it's just jokingly. But when it comes to the weight room, to the practice field and things like that, we've got a ton of leaders. You don't have to, you know, there's a senior, there's a leader on each position, you know. I don't have to worry about a guy slacking off in the receiver room because I know Dallas, Dez, and Shep are going to get right after him. Same with the tight ends. I know Ben and, you know, Jens and those guys are going to get right after him. There's no problem with any of the leaders that we have, any of the upperclassmen, because we have really great ones, and we're really fortunate to have the old guys that we do.
You and I just talked to Colin, who obviously isn't from here, but, I mean, you and Tanner and a number of the offensive linemen, but what's it like to be a North Dakota kid and be kind of in – you can see the end now, obviously. I mean, not all of you will play in the NFL, and you can see that your time as a Bison is kind of coming to a close. Mm-hmm. What was it like for four and three quarters years, whatever, to put on that green and gold and represent your state?
It's been amazing, you know, running out of that tunnel, you know, putting that helmet on, all those things that we are very fortunate to do. It's been all you could ever ask for and more. You know, when you sign that national letter of intent, you don't know exactly what you're getting to. You know, you go to the school, you see what it's all about, but you don't understand the friendships you'll make, the memories you'll have. You know, as seniors, we're putting together a photo album, all the stuff we've done, and, you know, jokes aside, things like that. And, you know, we had all of us together, and we were making a senior photo after last week's game, and, like, holy smokes, there's a ton of us. And, you know, all those memories we'll share for a lifetime is something that's been truly remarkable, and something that we'll look back on in 30 years and still laugh about and still remember.
If you guys hopefully accomplish your final goal, I've got to sit down and write about next year's team, and I do it immediately. Who should I be paying attention to? I mean, you've got three interior offensive line spots to replace. Who are the young Rams that are – I mean, you would think that Cordell would be somehow involved. But beyond that, I mean, who are the young Rams I need to pay attention to?
Yeah, so I mean Cordell is obviously the name that pops right to my head. You know, Carson Schoenig, Nash Jensen, guys that are really soaking in information. Zach Kubas works hard every day in practice and is getting better. That freshman class, Joe Schreiber, Jalen Sundell, Brian Ojava are all going to be guys that are going to push these old guys. They're going to be old guys. Cordell and Carson guys are going to be juniors next year, and it's hard to believe because at one time we were taking them under our wings to learn the offense and learn the playbook, and now they're going to be the guys that are in charge.
Skinny true freshmen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're guys in charge of teaching the young guys the playbook and how we do things. And so it's those are the names right off the top of my head sitting here that are going to be guys that are going to push for playing time and be in the rotation and things for next year.
Chance to go undefeated on the road.
Yeah.
You know, the standard for really good football, not necessarily North Dakota State, but it's like win all your home games and split on the road and you're going to be a good team. You guys aren't even close to splitting on the road. How have you been a dominant road team?
You know, it's we were making fun of the start of the season because we didn't have a non-conference road game.
Yeah.
we actually like going on the road. We like getting away from home a little bit, you know.
Distraction-free.
Yeah, it's distraction-free. You don't have, you know, 80 people from your hometown coming to the game. You have your two parents and maybe your two aunts and uncle or whatever that are going to the game, okay? Then you get on the road and you go to your hotel, you eat, you go to bed. There's just no one there.
Sure.
It's you and the guys you went with, and you got one task, and that's to win a game. And you get done with the game, you get on the plane, you get to go home. And that's our mindset. We've always talked about it being a business trip from day one that I've been here. I'm sure way before I was even here. You know, our coaches get on suits and ties, and we make fun of them because it looks spiffy. It's the only time they do. But, because that's their mentality to, you know, instill us as a business trip. We're going down there for one goal. One thing is go 1-0. We always joke that the food's better, but, I mean, it's hotel food. We appreciate what they do for us. But, just distraction-free football.
You guys are Missouri Valley champions right now.
Mm-hmm.
Two games left. It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Chance to, of course, win the league outright. How do you avoid a letdown? I mean, because it's always built up. And the fan expectation, of course, every season is a national championship. But the expectation set for you guys, and the goal set is always Missouri Valley Conference Championship, Missouri Valley Conference Championship. Now that you've accomplished your goal, but there's still football left to be played, how do you avoid a letdown?
You know, it's we try to win it outright, and that's something we talk about after we won on Saturday, as we celebrated. We won it, but we want it for our own. We don't want to share it with anybody. That was the mentality last year we went to Illinois State in a snowstorm, was the exact same thing, was to win it outright, win it on our own. And that starts with, you know, yesterday, Monday, we came in, we wiped the slate clean. You know, we didn't play our best game on Saturday against Youngstown. We all could recognize that. And then, hey, Missouri State, good team. What do we got to do to get better? What do we got to do to compete each and every day to get better? And what do we got to do to ultimately win on Saturday? Those are the things we talk about each and every week. Just getting better.
What did they do well? I mean, 17 points isn't your guys' standard. What did Youngstown do well?
You know, they had a lot of schemes that were well for what we were going to scheme against them. You know, they brought some things to the table that that we knew if they did, they would be successful, and they did it well. At the same time, we made adjustments throughout the first half, and in the fourth quarter, those adjustments paid off. Specifically, you know, they ran a lot of inside twists with their tackles, defensive tackles. We expected it. Didn't expect it as much as what we got. We got a lot more of it. But once we figured out kind of what they were doing it, what personnels and what formations and things like that, we were able to adjustments on the line, on the sidelines, and then to the game, and we were able to get some big runs, you know, Lance's run and things like that.
Last question, what do you guys have to do well to win at Missouri State?
We have to compete every day in practice, and as much as cliche that sounds, is we're going to go outside, we're going to practice. I think today we're inside, but if we have, you know, freshmen out there that are cold and don't want to be at practice, they're not going to get us better. We're not going to be up to the level that we need to be for Saturday, and if we're not ready for Saturday, we're going to get beat. You know, we have to be mentally prepared. If guys think that we've got the conference title in hand and they're not watching film and they're, you know, they're not taking advantage of the things they have, you know, on their iPads and things like that, we'll get beat. If we have guys that think they've arrived on special teams and they're freshmen and sophomores, that they think they've got their role figured out, we'll get beat. It's the things that we talk about each and every week. If we don't strive to get better each and every day and get better each and every Saturday, then we're going to not ultimately achieve our end goals. And that's something that Coach Kleiman and the coaching staff told us since day one. Something we talked about each and every day in fall camp was, A, don't get anyone hurt, and B, push your Bison brother next to you so we can meet our ultimate goals.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Give me like a...
We want to thank North Dakota State's athletic department for making Luke available. We want to thank Luke for his time, certainly. Let's talk a little bit Missouri State before we get out of here.
So with Missouri State, NDSU, 30-point, I believe Ross told me in the pre-production meeting, 30-point road underdogs at home. Something that you don't see very often, where NDSU is going to be going on the road to Springfield, and they are 30-point road favorites. So you look at this Missouri State team. I mean, if this game would have been on October 6th instead of November 10th, we might be having a different conversation, considering the season started out pretty well for a Missouri State team that had wins at home over ranked opponents at the time, Northern Arizona and Illinois State. But they have fallen off significantly here since then. They've lost four of their last five games, including last Saturday in Brookings, coming off a 59-7 loss. So when you look at this team right now for the Missouri State, Not the greatest of momentum builders coming into this Bison game, Ross.
No, I think their season ended last week. This game has kind of a funeral feel to it. Missouri State's season is basically over after a quick start, and you know, most of their defensive rankings as far as FCS football go are 95 or worse, and there's only 112 or 113 teams in the subdivision. This is not a good defensive team, and North Dakota State is not the team you want to play if you are bad at defense.
That is something that is very certain. You look at the last couple of weeks here defensively for this Missouri State team, have given up 49 and 59 points respectively. Then you look at their season totals, Ross. This is a team that's giving up over 5 yards a carry on the day. And on the season, they're averaging over 250 yards through the air. So whichever way you want to look at it, whether it's with Easton Stick's arm or with Lance Dunn's legs, it's likely going to be going very well for this NDSU team.
Yeah, certainly. They're going to be able to move the ball. I think one thing to definitely watch would be the kids that are a little bit nicked up, the kids that have especially muscle issues, you know, pulled hamstring, pulled quad, whatever. Those are the kids that are going to be really limited. I think the high is 42 degrees, heavily favored in the game. They have plenty of healthy legs. They could play they could use a Sabine Clark game if they want. They could certainly expand Adam Cofield's role. Lance Dunn is 100% healthy. If they want to get guys a little bit of rest, isn't necessarily the right word, but if they want to keep these guys that have hamstring this, calf that, whatever, a little bit of breathing room, this would be a good week to do it because, like I said, the team isn't very good and the season ended last week. I think you might have a little bit of a funeral situation going on.
When you look at Missouri State's offense, Ross, starts at the quarterback position, Peyton Helsig, or Hustlig, I believe I'm pronouncing it that way. He's a little bit of a dual threat. He's had double-digit, or I should say 15-plus carries in five different games this year, but you look at with his arm, Ross, he's been really struggling on this three-game losing streak. He's thrown multiple interceptions in each of the last three games, and he's only got one game in the last three that he has a completion percentage over 48%. So when you look at what he's able to do with his legs, does that give you anything, or does it drive any reason for concern?
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's any hope for Missouri State, it's in the fact that they do have a dual threat quarterback, and that's the way to beat NDSU. At least it has been historically. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you're going to give these guys a chance, it's because the kid does have the ability to get it done with his arms and his legs.
And when you look at Greg Menard, someone that had a big game last week, starting to return to that game-changing form that we saw from him so frequently in 2016, Ross, he is getting pretty close here. And you look at the games that are remaining, just a couple here in the regular season, but especially come playoff time, are we talking about a potential new school record?
You're talking about five sacks away from a school record. Six, I believe, obviously would break the record. And then you've got these two games and the four potential playoff games with which the ability would be to do it. So, you know, it's right on the cusp. One sack per game is a healthy pace. There's no question about it. But he is becoming more and more the guy that we saw before the ACL injury. And if you put a gun to my head, I would say that he's at least going to have a share of the school sack record before he graduates. And I think there's a chance that, you know, maybe late in the fourth quarter of the national championship game, he comes around the corner and breaks a record. And that would be a really cool moment for Bison fans and a really cool moment for Greg.
Finally, before we get out of here, I do want to ask you about this game this weekend. We've mentioned it. NDSU has won every game this season. They're a 31-point road favorite. Missouri State's lost three in a row. I'm not entirely sure that the game environment or the game atmosphere is going to be sensational there. So when you're an NDSU team going on the road, a team that hasn't had a lot of success, this NDSU team has to make sure that they get up for this game.
Yeah, it might just be mom and dad and a couple of cousins down there. Seriously, for Missouri State, it's going to be cold. Basketball season has started down there. They just it's going to be very difficult, I think, to generate interest in this game. And so, like you have to do sometimes when you go to Macomb, Illinois, you are going to have to create your own environment, psych yourselves up, and play for each other. And that's what they've been so excellent with doing. I mean, they talk about everything being a business trip. This is a business trip for North Dakota State football, going down to Missouri State to win an outright Missouri Valley football championship. That's what they're going to go do.
And they're going to have to be able to do it on Saturday. Vegas thinks that this game is going to be somewhere around 42-14. So that's going to do it for Ross and myself today here on the BisonReport.com radio podcast. I encourage you guys to head on over to the BisonReport.com. Check out Ross's Upon Film review piece if you want to become the most informed Bison football fan that you can be. So for Ross, for myself, we thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Go Bison.